Welcome to episode 355 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And today I have a guest who, I don't know how long I've known this guy. I know I've wanted to talk to this guy probably since I've known him. You know him from Workaholics on Comedy Central. I'm dying up here on Showtime. He's got a new Showtime special coming out. He is absolutely hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Griffin is in the house. What's up, E? Did I not mention a fellow Clipper fan,
by
the way?
Fellow Clipper fan. It's hard to be a Clipper fan.
Fan or sufferer? I'm not sure which word we use.
And at a certain point, you just stay with it. You know, people are like, you still a Clipper fan? You're like, ah, get out of my face.
Yeah. I love the Clippers, win or lose.
Yeah.
They're my team. And now, this is the thing we do now. Now we watch the playoffs to see how many Clippers are going deep in the playoffs.
I say that same thing. So I cheer on teams. I go, oh, I would love to see Chris Paul get that championship.
Exactly.
I'd love to see. I love when Pat Beverly was. I was like, oh, Pat, come on, Pat Beverly, you could do this. Yeah, I always look at like former Clippers, like, because I think once you're a Clipper, you're always a Clipper.
Yeah, because it's almost like a rite of passage. It used to be back in the day, they called it a rite of passage into the NBA. Like, you play for the Clippers, then you get traded, and then you're in the NBA.
That's so rude.
So, I've always wanted to ask you this, man. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I'm from LA.
What's your background?
Yeah, I'm from LA.
You grew up here?
Yeah, I grew up in LA.
Did you grow up in the entertainment world? Like, was this always the plan, or?
No, it was not always the plan. Yeah, It's, you know, when you live in L.A. and you don't really have any mentors, you don't have anybody like in the business trying to tell you, hey, this is how you do it. I never had anything like that. So I stumbled into it just being funny and, you know what I mean? And then like taking a comedy class.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So did you, because I did the class thing. So you did the class as opposed to just wandering into an open mic half drunk and then
but the wandering came after the class anyway.
Right. Yeah, because you have
like,
to do
because you didn't know what no one tells you anything. Like I remember I took a UCLA extension class, and you took a UCLA extension class when I was 22, and then it was taught by Sandy Shore.
And I don't remember that name.
Mitzi Shore's daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then RIP because she's dead. But anyway, then the showcase was at the Comedy Store. It was at, you know, OR.
Right.
You know, it was like a 7 o'clock show with everybody, all your friends or whatever there. I had like six people there.
You're like a pro.
Yeah. And then like, I didn't know what to do after that. So then I did like, I flaunted around for a few years doing open mics, but I was like, I didn't know. And I just stopped. You know, I had a couple bad experiences where I was like, I don't think I can do this. And then, you know, so then cut to like 8 years later is when I was like figured out how to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you stopped.
I was surprised too. It's one of my regrets.
Yeah, I'm surprised you stopped because you're good. And we all go through that period in the beginning. I was just talking with somebody about this, about, yeah, you're going to be bombing some nights and you're going to like one night. It's almost like playing golf. Like, I don't know if you ever play golf. But when you get that one swing and you don't even feel the club hit the ball and it goes perfectly straight and you're like, I got this. I got to figure it out. Then your next one is a slice 40 yards to the right. You know, it's the same way, right? You kill one night and you're like, I'm a star. And then the next night they're looking at you.
But when you're young and you first start, maneuvering and managing that disappointment is what no one tells you how to do.
Yeah.
And you have to just figure that. And I didn't figure that out till later.
You know? Yeah, that is true. So this is great, though. Relate that to your series, I'm Dying Up Here, which was kind of a series about the same thing, about comics that, you know, further along than open mic, but still comics coming to L.A. trying to make it, right? So now is art imitating life? Is it completely different? What's that?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, like, in the making of it, you don't even think about any of that stuff because it's so different. Like when you're looking at the show later, if you're watching it, then you can watch it and be like, okay, as a fan, I feel this way about these people. But I didn't really think of it like that at all. You know, and I think that it was just like, I don't know. I think they were still trying to figure out what that show was going to be. And I wish we had – if we had gotten one more season, I think that would have been the one that we – okay, we got it. But it just, you know.
Okay, between you and me, you just described my entire career.
Just one more season.
Just one more. Yeah, I know. Sucks, man.
Isn't that so often this business, though? I mean, it's so rare for something to end when it's supposed to. It either ends – before it was supposed to or after it should have.
Yeah, but at least the after it should have, you hopefully making a bunch of money in the meantime. You know what I mean? Like, to be on a shitty show right now, right?
Yeah. Listen, I say it all the time. Just, you know, and you're a good actor. You're good at what you do. But I always tell my agent, listen, how do bad actors get work? Like, find that. I want to be that guy when you're like, how did he get that job? Like, I want to be that guy.
See, we kindred spirits. Because I often say, I see something and go, give me a chance to be shitty.
Right.
Can I be that shitty?
Can I be that bad?
Yeah.
Can I?
So frustrating.
I love Tyrese, but can I just be angry every scene?
Yeah. Don't even get me. I always say I want to be on a network sitcom that nobody watches that goes 7 years. I want people to be like, they don't even know. You know, you go to your friends, you're like, what have you been doing? Yeah, I'm on that NBC. Yeah. And they're like, what show is that? Nah, it's just family.
You know
thing.
Where you get those shows? Those are the shows on Nickelodeon. And, like, they're not network. They're
basic cable. There's no money in those.
Well, listen, there's more money in those than
zero work.
Getting up, than getting up on Wednesday night at the Chuckle Hut.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. But those are the shows that people make entire careers. And you're like, so that's where he's been.
Yeah,
you know?
I want one of those. You know, I want one of those. Where you're like, oh, somebody got kids and they just randomly turn on and like, wow, you're the principal on. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, you know.
Is it fun to watch friends do that? Do you enjoy friends' success?
I do. I think I have a good amount of envy and pride for my close friends. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's a fair thing to say. So it's like I go, oh man, congrats on getting that thing. Then there's a part of me that's like, damn, I wish I would have got that.
Yeah.
But I'm still happy for my friend.
Right. And I think that comes with time.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I – like I'm an old guy now. You're middle-aged. You ain't an old guy yet in the game. But I'm an old guy in the game. And one of the things I tell young comics is one of the things you learn, you're not in competition.
Right.
You think you are.
And feels
then you
like
figure
it.
Out, oh, no, it's just me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm who I am. You're
it,
who you
and
are.
And it ebbs and flows. And like, you know, one day you see somebody, they're like, oh man, they just booked 3 shows. And you're like, good for you. Don't count on that forever. You never know, you know. Or it's somebody that, you know, there's a little bit of luck in it. You know, there's a little bit of like, you know.
Oh, definitely.
You just want to be at work. You want to be like a working entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want you want to just have sustainability.
And you are. I mean, you, everything. From like I said, I saw you on that Nike commercial, right? And then the TV series, and then your live stuff. Is there a favorite of you know?
It's film, tough. I still TV, I still love doing. If you had to, like you say, if you had to choose,
mm-hmm.
I'd choose stand up. You know, but I love all that stuff too equally. Right. But I'm saying if I had to choose,
and what is it about stand up that would?
It's because it's your thing. You know, it's. I'm creating it all, you know. I'm responsible for it all. If people hate it, it's because of me. If they love it, it's because of me. You know what I mean? I just there's something about being on a stage and all the people that are so different,
yeah,
are collectively enjoying you. There's something special about that.
I have to say, and there's a few stand-up things I want to talk to you about, but that is one of them. And I've told you this before. One of the things I love about you in stand-up, okay, like if I go topical and political, I'm going left. That's who I am, and that's where I come from. You have a balance to where I don't think a person could say what you are. You see multiple points of view, and you're funny from multiple points of view.
Well, I think that's important, but anyway, I appreciate that.
No, it really is true. I admire it. So my question is that conscious, or is that, like, are you doing that because you know everybody's in the audience, or is that who you are your views?
That's just who I am. I feel like I like to take a more common sense approach to things. You know, I'm trying to remove, you know, I'm looking at an overall view, you mm-hmm. know, more pragmatic about stuff. I mean, it's like things aren't black and white. And I think that when people make it one or the other, they're missing so much nuance. And in that nuance is the comedy.
Yeah, a lot of times. I mean, I'll tell you, for me, two things. One, the characters are always on the right. That the funniest characters in politics are on the right. The left,
it's just like radio.
Very boring.
It's just like radio. Conservative radio is great to listen to.
Yeah, they're out of their minds.
Yeah, you could just listen and be like, okay.
You know what I love about that, and I love this about conspiracy theorists in general. There's nothing they won't believe. Right? I mean, that's the thing, and that's all conspiracy theorists, like, whatever. It's like they attribute power to people or to things that, you know, it's created this, they're doing this. It's like, they really,
yeah,
can they really control that much? Can is there really some guy in a basement in Washington controlling gas prices in Indonesia? I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. I think, like, you know, when you, I think there's a little bit of truth in conspiracy theories. I think there's something that they have a little root they can hold on to, but they don't realize that it's not connected to what they think is connected to.
Right. Well, in a sense, I guess it's like a con, right? They say when you run a con,
you got to have a little bit of truth.
You got to have a little bit of truth, just enough that they believe it, and they want to believe it. That's the other thing. They want to believe you. People want someone or something to blame it on.
Yeah, but I think that's what, when you are totally left-leaning or totally right-leaning, that's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying. And again, my thing with it, I mean, I have my reasons for my beliefs, partly just I was raised Democrat, and I've been a union guy, and I this and that and the other. And my big problem with the right is the no, the anti fill in the blank. That's my big problem. That's why it's hard. But the interesting thing about this is, and I've had these conversations, I can have a conversation with someone I disagree with, which is why I can't stand the fact a congressperson can't have a discussion with someone they disagree with.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where, you know, and again, we run into this all the time, right? When we say something and they're like, blah, blah, it's like, yeah, but I'm a comic. Like, when I talk, I'm giving you my opinion from a funny point of view. I'm like Chappelle, you know, with the transgender thing. It's like, yeah, but he's not making policy.
Right. Yeah. Can a man have an opinion?
Yeah, exactly. When did we stop, man? When were we no longer allowed?
I don't know, it's a crazy, you know, it's a crazy world, man. Sometimes just the way, and I think social media has a lot to do with it, because people don't delve deep. They just, you know, people think in headlines now. People think in like 140 characters, and there's so much more nuance to life, you know. And when you, even if you start talking about a subject, you know, it's even like this thing about, like, you know, Elon Musk buying Twitter, and like the things that people are talking about it. You know, I just go, this is so much more nuanced. It's so, you know, there's so many more things to think about. And this is a great, it should be great discourse that people are having about this particular subject. But they just boil it down to, like, it's all politicized. And, like, and it's like, it's more than that.
Everything is now. The pandemic was probably, to me,
crazy.
The biggest indication of, oh, so we're not even going to pay attention to science or doctors
on either
or
side. Experience.
No, that's what I'm saying.
On
I'm saying,
either
no,
side,
nobody. It was all
crazy.
It was the politicians. Which politicians you believe in, and this and that, and the scientists and the doctors, because I know some of them, you know, and it's fascinating. And I read this piece interesting recently about how we ignore experts, like, and a lot of it has to do with what you said. You get in social media, you get into an echo chamber, and now the fact that somebody,
the echo chamber,
now the fact that somebody has a lifetime of experience or, you know, 12 years of education in this, it's like, well, I don't care, because in this echo chamber, it doesn't matter. So talking about Musk buying Twitter, what's your take?
Who owned Twitter before him?
It was corporate.
Yeah, so but my point,
was, yeah.
My point is, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where the buck stopped. We didn't know who was making choices. We didn't know how they were deciding things, and we were just okay with it. So now we know. So now it's one guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's like, this is my vision. I want to do this with it. If you don't like it, just don't be on it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I feel like if he – like the thing that people are harping on is like he's like, you know, he wants free speech. But, you know, the thing that comes with free speech is, you know, like there is a feeling that people would say free speech can be racist. And I'm saying free speech isn't inherently racist. It just allows people to be racist. But it also allows people to be other things too.
Right.
And you have to decide where you want to be on that line. I'm a person that believes in that we have to have free speech. So that means we have to deal with David Duke types and these kinds of people who have ridiculous opinions about things. And it is what it is. But if you start to go, well, we're going to decide what kind of speech we can have on there, then, you know, that's a slippery slope that just goes into like that, then we're being controlled completely.
Right. And you get into 1984 when you can control words and speech. You can control ideas.
Yeah.
In the long run.
Exactly.
Now, my thing, and this is my big problem with us, when I say us, our society and free speech, the part of it people forget is responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So you are allowed to say anything, but there is a responsibility to what you say, and you can be held responsible to what you say. And again, I say particularly politicians. If you're a politician, you know, you can say something, but don't cry when it comes back up. Like one of the things that's hilarious to me about politicians is they really don't understand this technology and that, no, it doesn't go away.
Yeah,
no,
sure
you said
don't.
It, and we're going to bring it back when it comes up again, and you can't say you didn't say it. Like, back in the day, you could say you didn't say it because unless
you could
somebody
be at a,
had
you could
a tape recorder.
You could be at a rally in North Carolina, and you could be like, you know, and black people, you know, and they're like,
I didn't say it. But now it's like, no, let it's like sports.
Roll the tape.
It's like sports. Let's go to the videotape.
Yeah.
Here you are saying blah, 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 right? So I think that that's one thing that's lost. Now, I like what you said about you have the freedom to be racist, because I don't even know when I learned this or heard this, but they said the hardest thing about free speech is defending the speech you don't like.
Exactly.
And
but that's anti how we are right now in society.
Right. But now it's – you're right. There isn't an element – I want to – both sides – and I talk about this. It's like the cancel culture. Both sides say the cancel culture is ridiculous until they want to cancel someone opposite them.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's okay. Now, and I know I'm shifting gears, but that's because, like I say, I love talking to you about this stuff.
Whatever.
So with that in mind, the other thing that I think that they do need to regulate, and they can do this through technology, but they don't, is the misinformation and bots. The bots intentionally spreading, particularly foreign influence in our, you know.
Well, one of the things I heard him say is that he wanted to make sure that each account was an actual real person.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
That's one of the things that he's trying to do.
Well, how do you handle that, the negative comments to anything you post or whatever. How do you handle it? What do you do?
You know, it is what it is. I mean, I have a thing now where I end up like, so I don't want to block anybody Because I think you block somebody, you give them a certain amount of power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not blocking anybody, but I'll mute. So on Twitter, I just mute them.
Mm-hmm.
So they can talk about me all they want. I'll just never see it.
Right.
Yeah, because who cares? You know what I mean? So I'll mute. And so they're still out there spewing it. And I'm just like, so they win. They get a win and I get a win because I don't see it and I don't care. On Instagram, you know, as soon as I see something out of pocket, restrict, hide story. And then when I see that a message comes up, I just delete it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even look at it.
Right.
So like if you said anything to me out of pocket one time, you're restricted and I'll never see your message again, mm-hmm. ever. And that's just how I do it. And then you just have to like deal with it. I like social media. So if I like social media and I like being on it, if I like seeing how I'm affecting people, if I like seeing people interact, I'm going to see negative stuff too. And you just have to like, and then you move on, you know?
I look at, particularly with Twitter, I look at how many followers they have. Because that's how you can always tell the bots, right? Zero followers, three followers. Okay, no sense. You know, I have a friend. He's been banned and suspended. He almost lost his job. He's one of those that gets into Twitter fights. And I'm like, who are you fighting? Who are you – like, why are you taking your time to argue with this person? Because you're not going to change their mind.
Yeah.
And any engagement is, like you said, it's a win for them to get you engaged in this. Now, shifting gears.
But wait, before you shift gears – I was just talking about this myself, even on my own podcast, Riffing with Griffin. I somebody tweeted at me something that was just so inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I reported it. Sometimes I do that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, report message. I got a message back from Twitter and it was like, this message doesn't go against our policies and our rules. I was flabbergasted. Like, because then I pressed the thing for their rules,
mm-hmm.
and I went down the list, and one of them was harassment and something like harassment and something else, and I was like, if that isn't fall right. under this, then nothing does.
Yeah, and it's I don't know if arbitrary is the right word, but it's interesting what sets off the because it's all algorithms, right? It's all or keywords or whatever. It's interesting what sets it off. And what doesn't. There can be definite threats that are not done. And then you can make an innocuous comment or just a comment about not liking something. And then you're like, I made one comment on Instagram that they said was restricted. And I don't even know what I said. You know what I mean? Like, because they delete it. It's like, I'm not even sure what I said to offend you guys, but I think if you look at my history, I'm consistent.
They definitely don't like comedy. There's no sarcasm in that bot.
No.
You know,
everything is literal.
Yeah, everything
is literal.
Like, cause somebody said something to me, and I was responding in a funny way.
Yeah.
But the words "kill yourself" were in there.
Right. Yeah, and then
and
now,
I was like,
now you're.
Now I'm done.
Now you're bullying children.
Right.
You're actually known for that. I don't know if you're aware of it, but in the comedy community, we often talk about Eric Griffin and his bullying children problem. And, you know, one would hope.
It is what it is, man. But yeah, the negative. Like, how do you deal with you? Look, well,
I just hate to stop, but you know that phrase. This is a podcast, so now that phrase is going to come out. Just Eric Griffin bullying children.
Yeah, from your mouth. That'll be the meme. Well, sometimes kids need to be told. I don't know. I just think like the negative. You'd be lying if you didn't say the negativity makes you feel something.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, no matter what level. Is what the that's the thing you can discuss, like how much it lets you bother you. But you see something, you go, "Wow, I really always feel bad for that person." You know, it's like somebody that would tell a stranger these words.
To me, it's
you know,
like,
it's like I was like, "Damn, what's up with you?"
My thing is, why are you following? Like, if there's someone I can't stand, right? Like, and I always use Tucker Carlson as my example. Like, I don't like Tucker Carlson. I don't believe anything he says. You know what? I don't watch Tucker Carlson. Like, I don't tune in every night at 8:00. Let me be mad for an hour.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
But you should
if you
sometimes.
Completely. The clips come up. You're not going to not see
right,
the
you're
most
right,
ridiculous.
Sure. You're not gonna...
but the time people spend pursuing things that they hate fascinates me.
Me too. Like, that's what I'm saying. When I look at a person on Instagram who just sends me some out-of-pocket message, puts a comment that I just go, why would you say that on the internet? And then I look and I go, they're following me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? So then it's like, remove friend. That's what I do.
Right.
Remove friend, restrict, you know, hide story. And now I don't care if you live or die.
I did have one guy, and I don't know if this guy was real or not. He's on Facebook. He might still be there. And he was from Kentucky and, like, total right-wing racist guy who didn't like me at all. But it was funny to me how much he would disagree with anything I said. And I would leave him up there, and I would tell people, don't get in arguments with this guy because this is what he does. And I always just pictured him sitting on a porch somewhere in Kentucky with a laptop or
Bowden's at it again. Oh,
just hating, just waiting every day for me to say something so he could hate it.
But the thing that gets me about that, these type of people, and this is one of the things where getting back to the Twitter thing is like him wanting to like every account be verified. One of the things I like about that is like I think that that's how it should be anyway. I think everybody's real name should be on their account. Regardless.
Yeah.
I think it should be like.
And this gets back to the responsibility.
Yeah. You can have some whatever Dingleberry name you want to have. You know, Dingleberry 75.5. But when I click that, it should say Alonzo Bowden.
Right.
Because I'm on the internet and you know who I am. And you can even find me. I'm going to be in Cleveland, you know, 28th to the 20th, you know, tomorrow to the 30th. You know what I mean? Like, you know where I'm going to be. So if you're in Cleveland and you don't like me, come on down to the club.
Well, this is a thing that. we as comics that I say to all these people, and this is why I say they're cowards, because we're saying it publicly with our name.
So my name on it.
You know my opinion on this issue, on that, or you know the joke I said about that thing. Whereas with them, they are hiding in the anonymity of the internet. And like you said, they're going to be Dingleberry 75 or, you know, Ghostman 22 or whatever. And it's like, so you're not anybody. Like you're yelling, but it's like the drunk heckler at the back of the room. It's like, hey, I'm up here under the lights on the stage. You're hiding in the dark and trying to fire darts.
And why? You paid to come.
Well,
you know what I mean? That's the thing too. It's so strange. Even at a comedy club, I go, what are you doing? Why are you being like this? This doesn't even make any sense, man. None of it makes sense.
Okay, good. So perfect lead-in.
Switch gears.
To being comic. No, this is a great lead-in because you have, and I have quoted you, and I know it's an old topic now, but I just want to get it since I have you here, your take on Will Smith, Chris Rock, and the Oscars. I have quoted your take. I think it is – I thought it was a great opinion when I read it. So let's talk about that.
Go, tell me.
Well, you said – that they need to stop inviting comics to the Oscars.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, just stop doing comedy at the Oscars. Because and for two reasons, for both sides. You know, I use an example of like if I'm graduating from college, I wouldn't want the valedictorian who's giving the speech to be looking down being like, "Oh, Lonzo Bowden's here, everybody." I don't know how he graduated.
I'm getting roasted. Yeah. My mom's
You're
here.
You're like, can I just get my diploma? Can I just pick up my award and get the hell out of here? So I get that energy, okay? And so what it is this is this prestigious thing where these people want to suck themselves off with awards and accolades that don't need to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's not entertaining.
Well, it is to a lot of people. People still...
I don't think it is because when you look at the ratings, it's going down and down and down and down.
But I will counter that with the ratings of everything's going down because we have so many more choices, right? But the Oscars, it's definitely not as popular as it was, and they know it. But there are still people. Listen, it's always fascinated me. Like, you're going to spend 2 hours to see what dress so-and-so wore, like that
but
part.
That-
and then the award show... Like you said to me, it's a bunch of actors telling each other how great they are. I have no interest in that, but people do. So I you know what I I give it the same thing as sports, right? Like the way we watch sports, and a lot of people like, who cares? What do you, you know?
Yeah, but the difference there is that you could say who cares, and then you look at the TV and you see a stadium full of people watching.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can't say that.
Yeah.
But you can quantify with the Oscars that they're not getting the ratings that they were getting before.
No, not as popular as
it's not as popular. And it's not as popular for a lot of reasons. One, before when we would watch the Oscars, how would you see Will Smith? You'd see him in magazines, you'd see him maybe on TV, you'd see him in movies. There was no way to see this person be just Will Smith on TV. Now we have this. I know more about those actors.
By the way, people, he is holding up a phone.
Oh, you're not video? I'm holding up the phone. You're right. Sorry. For the audio people.
Some will be just listening.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. We have this phone. We have this phone. So now I can go to Will Smith's Instagram, and I see more about him and know more about him on his Instagram than I would see him sitting in a dark suit at the Oscars. There's no thrill anymore. There's no – it means nothing.
If you follow – and if you're that type of fan, and again, this is too much to me. It's too much information. Like, you know, I'm a little older than you, but we're old school sports fans, and it's like, listen, I don't need to know what they're doing when they're not playing.
Exactly.
Like I know he's got a bunch of women and some baby mamas and this and that. I don't need any.
Yeah, like it's like when we found out Sean Kim had 9 kids. It was like, can he dunk? Like, I don't need to know. So, but that's the world we live in now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have all. So all I'm saying is like, so you look at like something like, you know, you look at the Oscars and you're just kind of like, all right, what is this? Another thing happened is the liberal echo chamber that you know has to always be at the Oscars, you know, and forgetting that. The other 100 million people that live in the country that also like movies, they're at home like, hey, we voted for that guy. Can you just pass out awards and shut up? That's a real feeling. And so those people are like, no, I don't want to watch these people say things that like I don't want to hear that right now. I'm just trying to watch my dressed up star get his Oscar. So
I will say that's always been there. I mean, Brando turned down his Oscar for Native Americans and stuff like that. They, you know, they've always had – Hollywood's always leaned left, and they've always used the Oscars as a voice. Granted, it may be used more.
Way more.
But that has always been there. But going back or continuing with the thing of not bringing comics, so you said that's one side.
Yeah, so the other side of it is like the comedy is like – so if comedy is going to be such a bother – if you don't want to be roasted, then don't have the comic there. Take that entertainment value away. Just have somebody come up there and give the awards out. Like, this shouldn't be on ABC, CBS. It should be on C-SPAN. You know, it should just be on Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
It should be on a station that is like, it's about the fashion. Then put it there.
Yeah.
Or, like I say, put it on C-SPAN where there's really important stuff going on every day on C-SPAN.
Oh, nobody's watching.
That nobody's watching. Like, I'm talking about life-changing.
Oh, absolutely.
Votes and trials going on that we should be watching. Like, that senator is doing what? And
Eric,
so
you're talking to a guy who's on NPR.
That's what I'm saying. I know that's your jam. C-SPAN is your jam.
More than I need to, they call.
So what I'm saying is like that's where the Oscars needs to go. It's like don't have a guy that this is what he does. Like you have a guy like Chris Rock is known for what he went and did. So if you're going to have him there, people – it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a pop-in.
Right.
It wasn't like they were like, you know, doing – hey, I'm guess who's here, everybody?
Right. Don't hire a comic and then tell him to not be funny.
Yeah, you hire a comic and then tell him or get mad when tell him to do what he was doing, and then you get mad about it. Some innocuous dad joke they want to get upset about. Yeah. If that's the case, then remove comedy from it altogether. Just remove it.
And again, I have appreciated that take, but you also give me another thought. It's like, man, if that joke set you off.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't ever see us live.
Don't come to a comedy show. And the thing that – this is the thing that really ticks me off about that too. If your premise is Chris Rock is a mean-spirited person who was trying to ruin their night and this Hall of Fame – genius level comic, he went with a G.I. Jane joke. Like, you think that, you think if he was going to ruin their night, that's the joke he went with.
Yeah, that joke is a throwaway.
It was like pull my finger.
Yeah.
You know, he was just making a funny little reference. Even if he knew or didn't know about whatever was going on with her bald head, it don't matter. She looked great in the front row. She was dressed up. She was out having a good time. She wasn't on a ventilator. Mm-hmm. Okay. She wasn't on a ventilator in the front row, like with a nurse there, like Jada's only got a few hours left. And then he was like, well, look at this. You know, that's not what happened. You know? So exactly. So I'm saying if that's the level, but I'm actually glad it happened. I'm glad it happened. Because Will Smith represented the overreaction to comedy, and people saw it. People looked at it and went, ooh, yeah, that's actually not a good look. Yeah. I think people saw that and were like, you know what? Yeah, maybe we're taking shit a little too serious.
So, and I love this because man, I could talk to you forever. It leads in perfectly. I'm reading Franklin Ajayi's book about stand-up, and I wish I'd read it, you know, 15 years ago. Ajayi is one of my heroes in the game. But he talks about leaving them with emotion because emotion affects people. Now, I, having worked with so many musicians, particularly jazz musicians who create their art with no words, with just notes.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said, people like, what's the difference? I said, the difference is that comics, we speak information from the mind, and musicians play music, it strikes you emotionally. He's saying comics can catch the emotion.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Do you agree with that? And then also I want to ask you, what do you think of, this is happening more and more, where comics are, it's not even about comedy. It's almost like I'm going to do a therapy session on stage. I'm going to talk to you about what's going on with me and then throw in a joke here and there. What do you think of that?
I think it's just an evolution of the art form. I think it's a different type of art form. And I think it's because stand-up comedy is so stale on television. It's just been so stale because it's actually very hard to do this and be engaging and captivating. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do it. So the people that they choose to do it are terrible at that. So then they keep doing it. It's like,
right,
how many more white, you know, yeah,
we've had this discussion over and over.
It's like it's the same kind of people over and over again.
It's
the same archetypes.
The same character. Yeah, perfect.
It's the same archetypes over and over and over that you know, Comedy Central and Netflix and these kind of people think that, well, this is what people want to see, right? Mm-hmm. And they're just like, I don't think so. You know, I think it could be if that person has something, you know. So then they need more. That's why they keep adding things to comedy. It's got to be roast battle. You know,
yeah,
it's because these comics suck. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just being 100. They don't have that thing to captivate a whole audience. So they got to add shit.
Right.
You know, let's add something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add a thing. They have to add some little like thing so they can get this mediocre comic
mm-hmm.
to at a higher heights. But the reason why I think that something that's hurt comedy is podcasting. It has hurt comedy because comics have forgot to be entertaining and funny because we like doing this.
Yeah, I mean,
We enjoy doing this.
I try to avoid the trap of two comics getting high and rambling for 3 hours. That, to me, that was a podcast trap that just it wore people out. It's like, how much can you listen to that?
Apparently a lot.
Now, let's get back to the emotion thing because you.
I'm about to get to it.
To
yeah.
That. So yeah. I want to hear your take.
Yeah, yeah. No, so what I'm saying is like that thing you're talking about people like having a therapy session is like that's them relating. That's them saying like, hey, this is what I'm going through. Like, I don't know if you saw Gerard Carmichael's mm-hmm. thing. That was such a beautiful art piece.
I love Gerard. I love him. I don't know. The thing about that is he could do that, but not everyone can do that.
He is one of a kind.
Yeah.
And I That's the exact conversation I had with him. I called him after I saw that, and I was like, Gerard, you are one of a kind. Only you could do what you just did. Mm-hmm. And you tried to do this with other people. You tried to produce and direct and right. make other people be like this, but they can't do that. No. Only you could do that.
He has the quietness about him makes him more interesting.
So when you, he brought full-on emotions mm-hmm. and vulnerability. And that's the thing. And that's what I that's why I don't like a lot sometimes left-leaning comedy, because it becomes preachy. It's not even like, and the point of like, hey, I'm going to make a joke to show you how you're not as right as I am. It's like, then you just kind of go, oh, okay, I don't know if that's I don't feel anything. All I feel is I'm being preached at. And I think that this podcasting has filtered into the comedy, and the comedy needs to filter into the podcasting. It needs to be reversed. And so when we're on stage, I totally agree with that of being like, hey, let's have a quiet moment where I'm talking about something that's going on with me. And then it's up to the artist to portray that in a humorous way. You know?
Yeah, I see.
And that's what sometimes is missing.
That's what I was going to say. I think sometimes people, like I have a friend, and he's a great comic. And I was talking to this producer one time, and they said, yeah, he got so caught up in the message, he forgot to be funny. And he said, that's why he's not.
Boom.
That's why he's not working. They're like, yeah, he forgot to be funny. Like especially, and you know how it is, when they come out on Saturday night, it's date night, and they come to see, they want to laugh.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you have a message, if you don't have a message, if you're doing throwaway crowd work, or if you're, you know, stuck on
a
topic,
show.
Whatever, they still want to laugh.
It's a show.
One of my favorite compliments that I get is when people say, I don't agree with you, but that was funny. That's like, well, that's the best I could do.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the best I could do. You don't have to agree with me, but if you laughed, you had a good time.
What I like is when a conservative person comes up to me and goes like this, thanks for talking about both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That's the comment I like, because they know they don't feel alienated.
Yeah.
They feel like, hey, I enjoyed myself, and you – so they're saying, ah, you got me,
yeah.
and I'm glad you got them too.
They don't even come to see me. They don't even come. They like, nah, we're not gonna.
But the thing
no,
is, it's like
I get that. I get that with black and white. I get that with race material, that they're like, yeah, that's both sides. Or lately, I've been talking about language and art, because we're so obsessed now. I call it trigger words. And you know this because people hear a word, just like you said. It's like you're in a headline.
And you put an ER on it.
And then they're not thinking beyond the word.
Yeah.
Like they don't hear anything else, because now I heard the word.
Yep.
They don't hear anything that came after that word, because that word triggered them. I mean, that was the whole.
There's no context.
That was the whole Chappelle thing.
That's something. Yeah, there's no context. There's
that's
no.
That's the most important word in the English language.
They don't
context.
Know. They don't know details. They don't. They just hear what they hear. And the thing about it is, when you're at a show, people listening and watching, you're at a show, and the comic says something, say that you're not on board with it. Look around the room. Is everybody not on board with it? Because then you got a case.
Mm-hmm.
If the crowd is silent and everybody's just like, oof, well, that was out of pocket, whatever, then you could be like, hey, man.
Dude,
what are you doing? But like, if you're sitting there and everyone around you is enjoying themselves, maybe it's you.
Man, that should be that's a special. That's a title for a special.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe it's you. And the thing, too, is like, and it's not to say that you're wrong.
Right.
But it is to lend itself to say, well, maybe there's a different perspective. Because what this is about in context, like we said, context is so important. It's all about what your definition of words and sentences and jokes. So like I said, even if you look at the Chris Rock situation, if your premise is he was trying to ruin their night, then I get your vitriol. I get your, like, your anger. You're like, boom. But is there a all I want to ask people is there a possibility that it wasn't that? And that's what I'm trying to – I think that the master craftsman as a comedian, that's what you're trying to convey to the crowd, is that I'm saying these things that are full of these buzzwords, as you say, but can I convey them in a way that you know, oh, okay, you don't mean it the way I – the way someone could possibly take it. It's a hard thing to do, but that's the goal.
It's a very hard thing to do, and what I relate that to, you know where I hear that, where I have to look at myself? With women. Not as much now as in the past, but there would be certain times where a woman would say something, and I'd be like, I never thought of that, because it never came up in my world, right?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And the way I relate it is, I'm tall, you're tall, we're relatively tall. I never think of not being able to reach it. Like one time I changed a light bulb and my girl was like, you could just reach the ceiling? Like that would, like to her, that was fascinating that I could reach up. Obviously there were some other problems and it didn't work out. But when it came to changing light bulbs, she was fascinated by me. I had that going for me. but that's where I look at it. Like, yeah, I take that for granted. But a lot of people can't do that. So I have to, just what you said. Now, oh, let me look at it from their point of view.
Yeah.
You know?
Or just it's not even about looking at it from their point of view so much as saying to yourself, could what I'm saying be wrong? Like, could what I'm thinking, maybe I'm not thinking about this correctly?
Okay, we have to stop this now. What kind of subversive knowledge are you spitting out? This is America. What do you mean, could I be wrong?
You have to start with self. But, you know, this thing you're saying about women is, like, so true. I remember I had this friend where I'm out to lunch with her, and she had a breast job, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was telling me how – she was like, I'm getting rid of them. And she's like, you know, I'm tired of the attention, you know? And as a dumb dude, I'm like, that's why you got them. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you're tired of the attention? You're getting the you know? And then she very – matter of fact, he was just saying to me, she was like, no, I wanted to feel like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted dresses to fit me a certain way. Her perspective just made me just go, okay.
Right. There may be more to it.
There might be more to it than just
obvious or than I thought.
Than I thought.
Yeah.
And that's like, you just go, oh. So maybe sometimes what I'm saying is like, I can still think what I think. And I can still – that my part of it could still be right.
Mm-hmm.
That could be part of it. But there's so much more. And so that's what you have to ask yourself. Am I wrong? Is there more to this? Is there something – and then that's what happens when it's like, you know, you have to understand, like, we're at a show. We're telling jokes. It's a show. We're trying to make you laugh. We're trying to make you think. We're trying to make you feel. I am all about this emotions things.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the nuance of different voices? And what I mean by that is now we're in a time and, you know, the idea of banning books and not teaching, you know, like if we don't say gay, it doesn't exist and all that. But what about the nuance of these voices that are coming out now? Gay, transgender, I don't know, let's just say alternate lifestyles than what we're used to. Even minorities and immigrants that we haven't heard from before are now speaking up. How do you feel about all of that?
Oh, it's a big question. I mean, I just, you know, there's room for everyone, you know. I just think that people need to stop making it seem as if their voice is the most important voice. And just take into account, like if you're a new voice, take into account that people might need some time to understand where you're coming from and look at themselves and be like, oh, this is so different from anything that I know. And they're not bad people because they're doing that.
Yeah, that's always been my take on the Midwest versus South. Because in the Midwest, it's like, well, they haven't seen this before.
Yeah.
These foreign people or in some cases even black people, definitely various Latin people besides, you know, the stereotypical
right.
Latin people. I used to do a joke all the time that if you're from the East Coast, you're Puerto Rican. In the West, you're Mexican. Nobody's interested yeah. beyond that. yeah. We don't need any details, you know. Yeah. But in the South, it's always been more of a angry anti, like, you know, particularly with black people, right? Because it's like we've been there from the day one, and it was an intentional anger. And I've always said that that's different. When you say it's not, they're not the only voice, that is true. That, you know, it's like I just worked with a guy, and I will call him out by name because I love this guy's act. His name's Alex English, like the basketball player, a comic in New York, a gay black guy who was talking about, like, we're not that big a deal. Like, we're just gay. Like, he would say, I love Jussie Smollett because we needed to look bad. Because we're all, because everybody, oh my gosh, you're gay. You're perfect. He's like, no, we're not. No, we're, and it was a completely different point of view on being gay that was hilarious to me. He was like, he had jokes about the rainbow flag clashing with everything and whatever. if you're listening, if you're in New York, if you get a chance, catch Alex English's act. He's hilarious. But I love that. And Chris Rock talked about this a long time ago. You're truly equal when you can do badly.
Dude, I was just on Adam Carolla's podcast, and I was I took umbrage with, like, this, you know, this whole thing that happened with Sam Elliott when he was like, he said yeah. I didn't like this Western, you know. And the thing was, like it's as if you can only criticize things if they're all white. Mm-hmm. So let's say a movie comes out and it's all white. Now we could be like, I don't think I like that movie. Mm-hmm. For why? I don't like the directing. I didn't like the performances. I don't like. But once that movie comes out and they go, well, you know, three of the actors are gay, transgender, and they were talking about it in the movie. Now, it can't be bad.
Mm.
It can still be bad.
Yeah, ideally.
I know, but right. But now we're living in this time where, like, so now it's like, you know, these voices you're talking about out here are being like, oh, well, you know, if you don't like it because of this. And you're just kind of like,
yeah, white males had a good run.
Yeah. even no matter.
And I'm joking about this because I love Adam, and Adam's one of those guys that, and you've probably encountered this too, where people have an impression of him that isn't him based on some things he said. They think he's all, like you say, one way, white, yeah. conservative, this or that. And I'm like, nah, there's nuanced to him.
To most
people. And then I tell people, you know, he produced the movie about the first black guy to drive in the Indy 500. Like, he did that. So, you know, yeah, the nuance. And doing poorly, you know, it is true. It's like, there are certain people that get a pass. There are certain people that get a pass. Like, you cannot criticize them. You can't criticize a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Not everyone has been gold.
I know.
I don't know if we needed.
I like to kill, how he. You know what I like about him?
I don't know if we needed to kill Bill three times.
But he. I like how he doubled down. And he doubles down yeah. on, like, mm-hmm. he's like, well, I like talking about race, and I like writing for black people.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And even though people was like, what's up with all the N-words in your movie? He's like, all right. He came out with another one where it was like
more of them.
There was more of them.
Mm-hmm. So we got to wrap this up, and thank you. Thank you for coming in. You notice I've been taking notes because I try to do a little outline of each podcast. So,
I like
it. But trying to catch your ideas in outline form is going to be difficult. It's going to be more question form. But the last thing, because of the times we live in, and I do a lot of topical stuff, as you know, news, this or that. Give me some good news, man. Because when it comes to bad news, that is an unending waterfall.
What a good news and bad news is.
Give me any.
I'm getting married.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm getting married. I started late in life, which is like, you know, it feels daunting because she wants to have kids and all this kind of stuff. And I feel like I just turned 50.
Yeah.
So I feel like,
you're an old dad.
I know. So I feel like I'm at an age where I'm supposed to be like, whoo, the kids finally out of the house and they in college. And I'm starting to like, I'm starting, you know? So it's like really like I feel like I'm going to be like my back's going to hurt when I'm trying to play catch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, move forward.
Absolutely.
like, Dad, I'm right here. Just shut up and catch the ball. You know, so I feel like, so I am excited about, but I am excited about it.
You know why I'm really happy about that? And I, again, I have a friend who just had his second kid. He's a comic. I said, because that's real.
Yeah.
Because so much in our world, especially Hollywood, like it's all fake.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's fun. It's
just a job
fun
sometimes
and it's
too.
Shiny and it's this and that, but none of it's real.
Yeah.
But when you talk about something like this, like getting married, starting a family, that's real, man. So I am very happy for you. I genuinely happy for you.
That's the good news.
I'd be the senior uncle. I ain't playing ball with your kid either. I'll let him run with my dog. My dog can wear him out. I ain't running with your kid.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what. I just feel like I'm gonna have to put a nanny account. Got to get that ready. A lot of this money gonna go towards some young pup out here. Yeah, go take care of my kid. Let them know I love them, though.
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
though, man.
So that's the good. That's the good news.
That's great.
And, you know, thanks for having me. You know, we can always talk. You know,
We do.
I'll come back on with some new thing happens. We come like I've got to come on here and be like I can't believe.
So, to the listeners, Riffin' with Griffin is his podcast, which is.
Yeah, check
fantastic.
Me. Yeah, check me out on Riffin' with Griffin on most platforms. I'm also with All Things Comedy, so check me out. I also have another podcast called Gen to Gen. What I'm doing with this social influencer called his name's Matthew Espinoza. Mm-hmm. I'm 50, he's 25, and we're just talking about the different generations, and it's fascinating to talk to him about different things. So I got that, and then when is this coming out?
This is tomorrow.
Oh, well, great. Yeah. Well, then you can catch me in Cleveland. If anybody's in Cleveland, I'm in Cleveland tomorrow, the 28th, which will be today, right? Whatever.
Yeah, weekend.
Yeah, 28th, 29th, and 30th, I'm at Cleveland at Hilarities. So come check me out there. And ericgriffin.com has all my schedule and stuff there. And check me out.
I am home this weekend. Next weekend, I will be at Mohegan Sun Casino at Comics Roadhouse. Which is always great. Hilarities, where you're going in Cleveland, is one of the best clubs in the country.
Yeah.
Hilarities is fantastic. And I want people to know this because this is a world I don't play in but because I'm scared of the addiction. But you're a gamer.
Yes, you can catch me at Eric Griffin Gaming on Twitch daily. I love that shit.
I know. That's why, because back in the day, like in the early 2000s, when people really getting into it, it was like, I ain't seen him for 3 days. I was like, I ain't getting into that gaming.
But you know what? It was because of the pandemic, man. Pandemic, I got into it because I was making money.
Yeah, that's great.
It's crazy. I'm living a dream. A 50-year-old on the internet playing video games, making money.
One quick one because you're a sports fan. See, we can't let this go. Do you think Pete Rose has a DraftKings account?
He's got
to, right? I put this on Twitter, right?
Like, I mean, at this point,
you're banned from baseball for gambling, and you're watching gambling commercials on baseball games.
I mean, at this point, he's got to. Why not, right?
He would be the ultimate spokesman.
Yeah, he should just double down on it.
He should, like, you talk about dedicated.
And think of the funny commercials. Think of the funny commercials they could do. Like, if they were smart, they would pay him $10 million and be like, can you be our spokesperson?
Absolutely.
And then he would just be like, well.
They caught up.
Yeah. And then they just have him in different halls. And he's like, hey, I'm in the hall of, you know.
Man, thank you for dropping in.
No problem.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
All Things Comedy, episode 355. Come back next week. There'll be a new guest.